A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Betsy. You are bundled up. What, to the
That's
nines?
Because it's
bundled to the
frigid
nines?
Outside. And have you not been outside? Hello.
I wish everybody could see her because you're wearing a great big scarf.
Yes.
All wrapped around your neck.
Yes.
You've got a blanket in your lap.
It's just a holdover from last weekend when it was, you know, like 4 degrees for the high.
Last weekend was really, really cold.
Yes. Well, this weekend is not shaping up to
be
terribly.
We had that warm day in the middle, right? With all the rain?
Yes. With the depressing rain.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was sad that we didn't have snow. I actually was feeling a little bummed until we got it and then got the super cold.
Yes, exactly. Now just wait 5 minutes. The weather will change and you'll feel better about it.
But you're all bundled up, so hopefully you'll be toasty warm.
I'll be warm. You'll be freezing.
I'm freezing. You're sucking all the warmth out of the room into your half.
Yeah, should have thought of that.
Anyway, today we've got some fun stuff that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
One of the things is a very common household item that has superpowers.
I like your play on words there. Basic.
Basically does. Yes, it does.
Yes,
and we'll tell you what that is. You've got it in your home, but you probably have no idea all the different things that you can do with it.
Yeah, probably.
That's coming up at the very end.
Yes. We also have John DeGraff. He's a painting contractor, and he's going to stop by and talk about the things you can do to hire a really great contractor, the things you need to look out for, and the questions that you need to be asking before you hire someone.
But before we get to all of that, Betsy's going to take us down the historical trail a little bit.
Well, slightly.
And we're going to talk about tool belts.
Yes, because...
And where they come from.
Well, yeah, because I think...
And
it's way
more interesting than you think.
Well, it is. I firmly believe that every single person should have a tool belt. And a lot of people think that it's totally a guy's thing. You know, women sit there and go, oh, it's a tool belt. You know, I don't want to wear one of those.
Oh, it's definitely a guy thing. It's definitely got that idea behind it.
But wait. Let's take a little step back in history and find out where they really came from, because it wasn't always called a tool belt. In fact, it used to be called a chatelaine. These things date actually back to ancient Rome, but they really became popular in like the 18th and 19th centuries. And it was usually actually worn by women. It was something that they would pin to the waist of their skirt or their dress. And it had these chains that hung from it. And on those chains on the ends, it would have all the things that they would need for the household duties. So usually it was the woman of the house who would wear this. And she would have, you know, a thimble and a needle and some thread and perhaps a little tiny notebook and a little itty bitty pencil so that she could take notes on what was going on.
All the little things she needs. And I went to Wikipedia.
Yes.
That source for flawless information.
Of course.
But it talks about this. Ancient Roman women wore them, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And they put nail cleaners, tweezers, as you mentioned, and ear scoops. I would love to know exactly what
on
an ear scoop is.
I think it's for getting out wax instead of Q-tips, or
it's
some
like
people
scoop.
Use the
is
candle
Is it like
thing?
An ice cream scoop, just a little tiny?
Well,
does it have one of those clickers so that when you get a big scoop of the wax out, you can just click that little thumb thing and it
maybe.
Falls into your bowl? Well, not into your bowl.
Ugh.
Oh, heavens no. Into the garbage bowl.
But
that's just the ancient Roman women.
Right.
Roman Britain women. I found this absolutely enthralling. I cannot get this image out of my head. Women in Roman Britain, Wikipedia tells us, wore chatelaine brooches from which toilet seats were suspended. Please explain, Betsy.
Toilet seats or...
No, toilet seats were suspended.
Yeah,
that's what I
want
to walk around with is a big old toilet seat around my neck just in case.
Sometimes they wore like perfume and different things like that. So after...
Oh, wait.
Did you misread? Just claim?
It's toilets. It's toilet sets.
I don't think they
not
mean...
Not a seat. Darn it all.
Yeah.
Shoot. It's a toilet set. It's what you're talking about.
Wow. We just went down a road that I had no idea.
That is so dumb.
Okay. Are we ready to move on now?
Has an A in it.
Yes, it does.
Anyway, why don't you just carry on with your chatelaine?
Anyway.
I'm going to put my toilet seat necklace down.
That would be good. So once we got past that whole area, you know, with the little things that you would
use. What area? What I was talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
That area. Later in the 19th century, it became popular to have things like if you were practicing archery as a woman, you would actually have the tools that you would need to practice archery hanging from these things. So
that you'd walk around the house wearing this?
Well, when you went outdoors to practice.
I would never cross.
Well, in the pictures, it is more like a belt. It is no longer like this little pin that was stuck there. It was more like a tool belt.
All right, so it's starting
sorts.
To develop into a belt.
Yeah, exactly. And then later, it was like the 1870s, the early 1870s, all of a sudden they come out with garden versions for all these tiny little tools, and it was really impractical. It was not designed to actually be used outdoors very clearly. But by the late 1870s, they had a sailcloth version, which looked very much like our canvas versions today and held regular tools so you could go out and do your gardening. So we're seeing the progression start to happen.
But it was still largely women who wore these.
Still largely women.
Men were not wearing them at this point.
No. Men had, you know, the chains for their pocket watches.
We had the toilet seats hanging around our necks.
Right, exactly.
Because we know what's really important.
Right. But it wasn't until the late 1880s into the early 1900s that you really see a version of an actual tool belt come into play. And it was worn by nurses. They had these leather pouches that they would put all of their tools in. It was worn on their hip and, you know, whatever, the little scissors and gauze and whatever else they would put in there. And so it was basically the very first version of a modern day tool belt.
So when did it make the transition from that to what we see today in construction?
There really
is. Because we don't see nurses wearing utility belts anymore.
Well, no. And my hunch is there is no like set, this is the time when it swapped over. Mm-hmm. But that nurse's tool belt just, you know, kind of changed and morphed. And eventually you have the modern day tool belt. And, you know, now it's kind of a staple thing that every construction worker has to have, you know, whether they're a metal worker or they're a pipe layer or
well,
an electrician.
It certainly makes everything that much more convenient.
Right.
And even for a do-it-yourselfer, having a tool belt, you know, I have one here.
Yes.
And I
you
felt
found
a little
out
silly.
The hard way,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Well, I did. I felt a little silly with this because I instantly pictured the home improvement television show with the
right.
And that was never my thing.
Right.
So the tool belt felt a little bit, a little bit over the top
right.
for me.
Right.
But I always, when I'm working with anything, my problem is that I take tools everywhere and I leave them everywhere.
Well,
so the tape measure's over here and I forget where that is, or the pencil or the fasteners or you name it. And then I put this tool belt on. I didn't want to use it. I put it on because I just got sick of looking for stuff.
Right.
Completely changed how I worked. I mean, it's so much more convenient and so much more efficient.
Well, that's why a lot of the construction trades do make it mandatory that you have a tool belt. Because there, if you look through the forums online, a lot of guys actually say they tend to wander around and do whatever in the morning when they get to the job site if they don't have their tool belt on. If they do, they're ready to get straight to work.
Well,
it just puts you in that mindset.
Picking the right one is something that's a little complicated.
There
we're
are
gonna dig
so
into that.
Many of them.
Yeah, and I think we'll dig into that on another segment because there's a lot of great little tips out there to help you figure out the exact tool belt that you should get.
And what you should put in it.
Right. You don't want to get one that's way too big or
right.
you'll never use it.
Right.
And way too small is really not going to be that beneficial.
And we'll argue about if you should wear it in the front or in the back.
And if a toilet seat should be incorporated into it. But that's
right.
all coming up on another segment, on another show.
Yes. And ladies, one last little factoid for you. The Italian fashion house Fendi actually presented in their fall 2008 collection a skirt combo that featured, wait for it, a stylized tool belt.
Oh, it's coming back for the ladies.
It's coming back for the ladies.
Well, that's very cool. Thanks for that little factoid, Betsy.
No problem.
Now, when we come back, we're going to be in the studio with John DeGraff from John DeGraff Painting, talking about exactly what you need to know to hire the best contractor for your next project. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And this is kind of an exciting segment because recently we were at a home expo, the Remodeling a New Home show, and we got a lot of questions in our booth about hiring a contractor and how do you know which one's a good one to hire? How do you know what questions to ask and things like that?
Yeah, what information do you go with?
Right. So we thought we'd bring in an expert, John DeGraff. He's the owner of John DeGraff Painting. John, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm hoping that you can help walk us through some of these fuzzy areas that people have, because a lot of times we just get a number from somebody here. This is how much it's going to cost to do the stuff, but we don't really know the ins and outs of what that's getting us, or we just have, you know, we're a little concerned about what may be happening. So can you walk us through some of those things that we need to know?
Yeah. Do my best.
All right. That's what we like. So what's the first thing that we need to ask when we're hiring a contractor?
I would say ask yourself, is this somebody that I can work with? Is this somebody that I want to have in my home that is going to be here several hours a day and I'm comfortable with, that I feel like we understand each other? That would be my number one suggestion is, are you comfortable with the contractor, the person, the people that are going to be there?
So it's not just do you trust them, but it's can you work side by side with
Absolutely.
Them and just have them in your living space
all
the time.
Some projects,
yes.
You've got to be, right there disrupting everything to some extent.
To some extent. And that doesn't mean you have to be there the whole time, but it does mean you certainly have to communicate well with the person you're going to be working with. So
how do you figure that out just in the course of an initial meeting? I mean, okay, so you're the contractor. I'm the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
I call you for a quote. When you come out to the house, that's when I'm trying to gauge this?
Typically, we and most contractors are going to want to do a site visit and review of what the project is, what's included, what you're going to have to do. And so we'll meet, go over what your thoughts are, any suggestions we'd have for you, and then kind of narrow it down from there. And the last thing is actually the number that you'd get. So that is typically what we do as far as site view.
Okay.
Review.
Okay, so it's best to get out there, have those conversations, get a gauge on whether we're going to work together or not. Well,
yes.
You know, and I imagine
that might be the first step. Obviously, there's other things after that, and price is a factor for you. You want something that's going to fit your budget, of course, and that you're comfortable with. You know, there's factors of the scope. How far do you want to go? Sometimes what you have in mind might be less efficient than doing more or less of what the project could entail.
What do you mean?
Well, if we come in and we're looking at doing the walls, for instance, but your ceiling is not in great shape either, now might be the most efficient time to get the ceiling in the rooms painted as well, because after you do the walls, now, of course, you're going to be looking at the ceilings, wondering why on earth didn't I do the ceilings? Would have been so much cheaper to have done them while they're here.
Right.
And that could fall into wood trim, touch-up, cabinets. I mean, it kind of goes on. A scope creep is another word for that, which is good and bad. But
do you see that? I imagine you see that. You see homeowners or people that you maybe mention the ceiling might be something you want to think about. They don't want to.
Exactly.
They get the walls coated.
On the other hand, there's other times where I've had clients that want to include the ceilings, but after a review of the ceiling or the surface they're interested in, it looks so good that my general rule is if you're going to paint it, but you can't tell the difference, then why bother? You don't have to paint something just because you're doing something in the room that otherwise might include it. So,
now, when people are getting quotes from you, is it generally written out what all they're getting for,
like, in an itemized manner?
Yeah, like you're getting two coats of your top coat of whatever paint.
And that's something I wouldn't be afraid to ask for either.
Okay.
Is you might want more of a shopping list kind of pricing, which allows you to break down things that may or may not be important to you. Asking ahead of time is the most important time to do that, though, because everybody compiles their numbers differently, and it's easier to do as you're proceeding through the home than it is afterwards to ask for breakdowns sometimes. So
I think that's a really
consider that
important point that you just made there, to ask ahead of time, because we did talk to, I remember one couple who came to the home show, and they had two quotes, and they were drastically different, and they were talking about how do we figure out which one's right. So first we said get a third quote, but then secondly we asked, well, what are they doing? What work?
Mm-hmm.
And neither quote had anything broken down. It was
price.
Just the final number. So I said, you're going to have to go back and talk to people, but catching them ahead of time is going to be a lot easier right off the bat.
Exactly. Yep. Don't be afraid to ask for that. And most contractors have no problem doing that. Yep.
Now, what happens? I'm thinking of all the people who are talking about stripping wallpaper and their headaches with it. And if, you know, you were to go in and do something, maybe it's not stripping wallpaper, but something similar where you start to get into it and, holy cow, this is taking way, way, way longer than anticipated. What Sure. generally happens then? Is the customer charged extra? Is that a conversation? Should they ask for,
That's
can you
good...
give me a quote on how much extra this is going to cost to continue
Right.
to strip the wallpaper?
That's a good conversation ahead of time, actually, is
okay.
What are we looking at for something like that? And a good contractor is going to tell you as well that this is something that's hard to put a number on. You'd be better off to figure out time and materials, but here's at least the budget number of what I would expect. You could also do a not-to-exceed number where I want to fix up this area, these walls, drywall repair, patching, but I don't want to get too crazy with it. This is my limit. That might be something else to set ahead of time or price accordingly.
Right.
So another thing that people wonder about, and I guess I'm very curious how this works. Oh, look, there's that magical sound again.
We're just going to head it off right
Where
now.
Where is it coming from? It's not from me. Oh, John looks to be the guilty party.
That's because John is popular and people want to hire him.
They're calling him right now.
They are.
Yeah, we need him out here.
It's an emergency, man.
Prompts up. Sorry.
No, that's awesome. That's fun. We had... That happened a couple times. Oh, we had that one time where we had somebody and
Ian.
I gave him the stink eye. I thought I was being very funny, you know, because I didn't care. It's no big deal. You know, it happens. And he looked at me and he said, not mine. And I looked down at my phone and
guilty.
Well, then we had Ian on and he answered it. It was a long distance call from what, Scotland or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's like, man, I'm on the radio. I got to go.
So don't worry about it. It happens.
It does.
But what was I saying? I was going to ask something important. Oh. I know what it was. I've talked to people who, and I'm sure you're going to have an opinion, and probably a strong opinion about this. They want to do some of the work.
Oh, that was my
question. Do you run into that, where they want to do some prep work? They want to do
this. Occasionally.
What's the take on that? How do you handle that? How do most contractors handle that?
The challenge, of course, is setting the parameter. What is and what isn't included in the homeowner's work. So... It's not easy. That certainly puts a twist in the mix, if you will, that you now have to really be diligent in keeping track of what they're doing, what the expectations are. Will it be done on the time frame that's needed? Because if it's going to hold the contractor up, that, of course, complicates and challenges their procedures as well. So let's put it this way. Not something I normally recommend, but something that's possible to work around.
Okay.
Usually you'd want it done ahead of time so that by the time we arrive, the work is done.
What about just the simple things like moving the furniture into a space so you can get to the walls and taking off switch plate covers and things like that? I mean, is
Sure.
that something that you
All
usually
little
put
things,
into a
and,
quote?
And they help, but they tend to be
Okay.
minor things.
Okay.
We're pretty good at what I typically am going to ask for is move delicate things, things that are fragile, that are keepsake, that you don't want any chance of damage on. It's always safer
Right.
if you can take care of that. Larger furniture, most contractors will move that for you, cover it, protect it, so that doesn't necessarily have to go out of the room, but it's not easy for most homeowners to necessarily combine that in a way that makes it easy for us to work around it.
Mm.
So
we're in the studio with John DeGraff, president or owner. Would you like to be president? Do you go by that
technically
title?
I am.
Yeah,
but
president, owner.
I don't act accordingly. So.
Yeah. The dignity level is not there. But other than that, no, anyway.
You're a fine one to talk.
John DeGraff from John DeGraff Painting. We're talking about what it takes to get the best contractor and how to make sure that everything's going to go well.
Yeah.
We're at the end of this segment, but I've got more questions. John, can you hang
Sure.
with us over the break?
Absolutely.
Excellent. We'll be back in the studio with John DeGraff in a minute. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. I'm back anyway. Betsy, you're back.
Yes, yeah. I have my lovely cup of tea.
Yeah, and your little crumpets and all the things you're cramming down your throat.
I do not have crumpets. I just have tea. Thank you.
John, how much tea do you have?
I have no tea.
No tea at all. And
hey,
I have no
I
tea.
Offered. Betsy, well, you chose not
you
to
did
have
offer.
Me.
Yeah.
She offered John. I didn't get offered anything.
That's because I figure you're a big boy and you can
get
your own.
I can get my own. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're in the studio with John DeGraff from John DeGraff Painting, the owner of John DeGraff Painting.
President of John DeGraff Painting, yeah, as we established
all kinds of
the end of
amazing
last segment.
Accolades or titles.
We're yeah, really not that formal.
Anyway, we're talking about what it takes to hire a good contractor and just yeah, what we want to do as homeowners, as we're mm-hmm, looking for somebody. You know, what kind of things do we want to make sure we cover?
Right.
And something I meant to ask in the very beginning and just, but we completely forgot. We jumped right into it. John, what exactly do you do? You're a painting contractor, but are
correct,
you largely just residential?
Mostly residential.
Okay.
Both new and a lot of remodel, a lot of repaints, maintenance painting. So we run the full spectrum of residential painting. We do some commercial, a little light industrial, but I would say most of our business, yes, residential.
All right. Product-wise, what do you like to use?
Repolite, of course, yeah, and Benjamin Moore.
Awesome. Yeah. I like all that.
Right
did
answer.
You pay that's him all to say that?
I didn't, but I was curious. The minute it left my mouth, I wonder how this is going to go.
Uh-huh.
Turned out all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple of questions left that mm-hmm, I've got anyway.
Yeah.
At the beginning, we talked about one of the key things. The first things is just figuring out if we're going to be able to work well together with this contractor. And that's important no matter who you're hiring, you know, when they're coming into your
sure,
house to do remodel
yeah,
work or painting or whatever.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. Any contractor
yeah,
that's going to work with you.
You're working closely and things get disrupted. You want to make sure that you can work well together and communicate. What about time of year? I mean, do we need to get on the phone right now if we're thinking for summer or
yeah,
how does scheduling work?
No, I think you're right on. West Michigan kind of has that tendency to want to do everything in the spring. We often give prices fall and winter, and then people kind of think about it for a while and then finally decide later spring. But by that time, everybody wants to do mm-hmm, it in the spring and early summer and have it ready for kids out of school or graduation parties, weddings, or a party always seems to be the motivator. And that time just gets so challenging for us to be able to keep up with all the projects and opportunities.
Well, that's got to be fun. You wait all winter and you're just wishing for some of these
hey,
jobs
I don't know
to show
why,
up.
I'm just telling you reality.
And then all of a sudden, everybody shows up all at once.
It happens, exactly.
So a good thing would be to think ahead, to plan ahead,
yes,
to get those things going.
Definitely. And if I were to say a time of year that if you want people there when you want them, would probably be to think about it between the holidays and early spring, so around
so
April. And
right now.
You got yeah, it, yeah.
You guys are ready to go.
I would say most contractors would be ready to go this
he's
time of year.
He's got paint, a little paintbrush ready to go.
We're in our trucks. We're running.
Now, I want to point out, because you're talking about the busy time of year, and
sure,
the tendency is to think that, oh, that contractor happens to have an opening and it's the middle of summer. How the heck did that happen? I don't want to use him. But you guys do, in fact, I'm guessing, have people who, for whatever reason, you know, something happens and, oh, sorry, we just can't have you come the week you were scheduled. And so suddenly you have an opening. And we at the paint store sometimes tell people, oh, yeah, this contractor has an opening. And people kind of give us the look. It is okay, right?
It is okay. Yeah.
The contractor
and it does
has an
happen,
opening.
Sometimes jobs that you had scheduled aren't ready when they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens, absolutely. And that's not to say that things can't be fit in, you know, any time of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a matter of your most likely time to get a contractor there when you would like them is
right,
going to be in the slower time of year, of course. And it's just cyclical like that in West Michigan, that people have a busier time when they are tending to do projects like that. So.
Well, a lot of us don't hire a contractor or painting contractor all the time. You know, once in a while, we hire
yeah,
somebody to come out and do some residential
sure,
work. It's not like getting your car fixed, where mm-hmm, normally you give them a call
right,
and they can work mm-hmm, in the next week or so. You're in there. We're sometimes a little surprised to find the
right,
wait is as long as it is, and, you know, we put it off. So it's good news, or not good news necessarily. It's good information to
right,
know. Get out there and make those calls early. I guess one other thing that I'm curious about is when it comes to, like I asked you, what paint do you use? What products do you use? You,
mm-hmm,
of course, said Repcolite.
True.
And Benjamin Moore, which is exactly the right answer. But how much of that do you control? And how much of product choice does the customer control? How does that work?
I would say customer certainly has a sway in what we're going to want to use. We try to always satisfy the customer's wants, expectations. On the other hand, if there's a product that we recommend, we've had great experience with, and know is going to work well, we'll certainly recommend that product or brand. So something to consider. But yeah, we're open.
See, that, and that's also very interesting and something to think about and work with. You know, people develop a certain affinity for certain products.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get an expert in the house saying, hey, this product works, I work with it all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's going to do what you need, you know, it's worth paying attention to the experts and listening to what they say, unless they are recommending something other than Repcolator Benjamin Moore.
Well, I did. Here's another question. When it comes to quotes, should the customer ask what particular paint a painter is going to use? Because I talked to a couple people at the show, and it was a couple ladies, and they said, yeah, I hired this painter, and I always use this certain kind of paint. I think it was a Benjamin Moore paint. And she said, what is on my wall? I don't think that he used that. I think he used some cheap whatever because it looks terrible. It does not look like I'm used to it looking. And she was under the impression it was the same thing she'd always used, but she could see the difference. So is that something that should be in a quote? You know,
I'd recommend it. I sure wouldn't be afraid to ask what kind of product, and I wouldn't be afraid to keep an eye on what they're actually using, too. The cans are obvious. They're going to have the label on them, so that wouldn't be a problem in our book. So.
Okay. Well, we've got about a couple minutes left. One last thing. I've got you coming out to the house. You're coming out tomorrow, let's say. What kind of things do I need to do to be ready so that when you get there, everything is as smooth as possible? Is there anything that I've got to do? Do I have to have cookies baked?
Yeah, I was just going to say, he wants you to have fresh chocolate chip cookies.
Not much. Just be there and set up the time, and it's pretty simple from there. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, although sometimes we're happy to answer a lot of questions.
That's not annoying to you?
Not typically, no.
Okay.
Everybody has their limit, I guess. But
he looked at me when he said that.
I noticed that.
Yeah, you get a pass. But I get four questions, and I'm already through them.
Mm-hmm.
John, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or, you know, get you out to take a look at a job and give them a quote, how do they best get in touch?
Sure. Best way is our office number, which is 616-531-7005. And we cover all of West Michigan, which would essentially be Holland, Saugatuck, all the way up to Muskegon and Ada, East Grand Rapids are kind of the eastern parameters there.
Oh, you guys go all over the place.
Yeah, we do. There's
How big is your crew?
Plenty out there to do. We typically have a crew of about 15 to 20 full-time and hire more during the summer as need be.
Excellent.
Exterior season, of course, makes for more work to do and more hands are needed.
And that phone number one more time?
616-531-7005.
John DeGraff from John DeGraff Painting, owner, president. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now get your pen and paper ready, because coming up after the break, we're going to tell you all of the far-reaching uses for one of those very common household baking items that we are sure you have in your cupboard.
Yeah, and you're not going to believe how many cool things you can do with this stuff.
You're really excited for this.
I am so excited because I learned so much.
Because most of it has to do with cleaning.
It does.
It does.
That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
To take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, I thought that was a really good interview with John DeGraff.
It was very good.
I like to think I carried my weight there, made up for your obvious limitations with my brilliance.
No, you came back from the little toilet seat thing that you had at the beginning of the show.
If you didn't hear that, I misread something.
The listen.
Yeah, you got to go back. I misread something. It said toilet sets
yes.
that women wore and some sort of brooch thing.
Yes.
And I misread it. For several hours, I've been thinking it was toilet seats.
Uh-huh.
So I made a great big joke and ended up looking like a complete dope.
Yes, you did. And it was even better because you waited until we were on the air. You didn't
it was a
act
little surprise.
Like a dope before we got on the air.
So I was trying to make up for that by being brilliant in the last two segments, but I'm not sure I pulled that off either.
Well, let's see how you do on this one.
Well, before we get to this one, though, this happens to everybody. Whenever we're on the air, it happens to us all the time, too.
Yeah.
You get done and you think,
Oh, shoot.
Oh, there's a couple of things I should have said.
Yeah.
John had a couple of things. We talked about how to hire the best painting contractor, the things you need to know to make sure you get somebody that you can work with and all of those things. He had a lot of great advice. But he left out a couple of things. And the minute we were done, he said, oh, no, here's a couple of other things I should have said. And so we're going to fill you in. This is John DeGraff still speaking. Just through us now.
But not John DeGraff, technically.
Right. Anyway, first off,
He
said one of the things when picking a contractor, do everything that he said in those segments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also, make sure you stop by the closest Repco Lighter Port City Paint store and ask us.
Yeah.
We will help you find some contractors. We can help you make those connections. And better yet, you can do that right from your home by going to repcolite.com. And we've got a form right on the homepage. You just fill that out. Give us your name, your address, so we know which store is going to be closest to you. And briefly describe your project. We've hooked up probably 20 to 30 people now with contractors.
Well, and you can always call the store. I'd just like to throw that out there because, believe it or not, there are some people out there who don't have internet. So if you're one of those people, you can always call. You don't actually have to come down to the store.
Yeah, by all means. Call the closest Repco Light and we will help you find some contractors. We'll give you some names.
Yes.
You make the phone calls and make the decisions based on everything John said. And the last thing that he had, the little tidbit, was ask for referrals and make sure you call them.
Yes.
A lot of people don't call that list of
they
names.
They get the list, but just look at it.
They assume that if a contractor gave me a list of names, these people are going to give great reviews.
Yep.
It's not always so.
Right.
Call the list.
Right.
There.
Yep.
That's wrapping up business from last segment. Let's move on with business from this segment.
Yes, because I know you're excited about
this. I am excited. We're going to talk about basically superheroes, or about a superhero. Or, no, actually, it's a product that's cool like a superhero because it's got powers.
Yes, without the cape.
Right. And it's going to be such a letdown when you first hear about it because it's so common. Baking soda.
Yeah.
Baking soda has so many unique uses.
Mm-hmm.
So many things from baking to cleaning to personal hygiene.
I know. Crazy.
It will help you stave off embarrassment at dinner parties. Baking soda is an amazing, amazing item.
Yes.
And so we're going to highlight a few of the things that you can do with it. But before we get to that, let's just talk quickly about why it works in the first place.
So the science stuff.
Right. Let's do the science stuff. So baking soda is sodium bicarbonate.
Yep.
Right. It's actually a salt. It's a neutral compound. But though it's neutral, its pH level is higher than neutral. So basically, it's the opposite of acidic. That's the thing to take away here.
Right.
For example, we use baking soda to neutralize odors, right?
Yes.
And that neutralize word is important.
Mm-hmm.
Air fresheners, candles, things like that mask odors.
Right.
It just layers a new stink on top of the old stink. Baking soda actually neutralizes them. See,
right.
Most odors are acidic, right? Baking soda is the opposite of that. It's basic, so it reacts with that acid in the air and neutralizes it or gets rid of it or absorbs it.
Right.
So it removes the stink. It doesn't just cover it up. That's why we use it in refrigerators.
And garbage cans. I use it in my garbage can all the time.
Yes. So there you go. That's why it works so well.
Right.
Now let's actually get to some practical stuff that you can do.
Yes.
Okay. You can use baking soda to remove mildew.
Absolutely.
Let's just start with that.
Yep.
All you need to do is get baking soda on a toothbrush, not your toothbrush.
No.
Somebody else's toothbrush.
Too salty.
Although you could put it on your toothbrush
because
that is something you can do with it. You can brush your teeth with it.
You actually can.
Yes.
Yep.
But anyway, get it on a toothbrush.
A little bit of water.
A little bit of water and you just scrub the mildew. And it will remove it naturally and get rid of it.
You can also clean your grout with it. If you take three parts of baking soda.
Dirty grout really stinks. Well, not stinks like a smell, but nobody likes that, right?
Right. And quite often it's combined with the mildew. So you've got both things in one. So you take three parts baking soda with one part water and you scrub it into the grout. And then you can put a little bit of vinegar on it. You know,
like a warm vinegar solution.
Yep, spritz it over that. Let it set for about 5 minutes. Let it fizz away. And then make sure you rinse it really well. When you're all done.
Right. There is a little negativity on the internet about baking soda as a cleaner.
It will hang around.
Because it leaves a residue.
Yeah.
You just need to take the time to rinse it well and get it gone.
Get a sponge, wipe it down, you'll be fine.
Right. So there you go. Remove mildew, clean grout. You can also clean pans that are covered or filled with burnt gunk.
Yeah, I love doing this.
Like when I cook and something doesn't get stirred as diligently as it should have and it burns to the bottom and you've got that black mess. Normally what I do is I fill up the pan with water and I let it sit on the counter for a long time.
I think a lot of people
do
that.
I let it soak. I tell the children, this one is soaking. Don't touch it.
Right, but you can speed up the soaking process by putting like about a tablespoon of baking soda in there with about a quarter of the pan filled with water. Put it back on the stove, turn it on, let it warm up, start to bubble, you know, just before it's boiling, and it'll actually pull all that gunk off the bottom. And then
you may need to get a little spatula and scrape it a little bit, but it will definitely loosen it up.
Oh, yeah. And then you just pour out the water and the baking soda, put a little more baking soda in there, scrub with your little scrubby, and good as new.
There you go. So that one's really good. You actually do that, right?
I do that. Yep.
Yeah, you told me about that with some pan that you had burnt something on, and I thought, oh, that sounds pretty smart.
Yeah.
I tried it. Works
at first
really
you
well.
Thought I was crazy. Well, then you tried it.
Yeah, it does work.
It
now,
does.
This one I really like because this is a money saver.
Yeah.
If you've got children, and if they pack their lunches, or if they do anything with little Rubbermaid or Tupperware containers,
yes,
you're going to know my pain. Because my kids will bring these things home.
Yep.
And so, usually they never make it to the sink.
Right.
So they've got ketchup in it, or they've got, you name it.
You name it, they've got it
some
in
kind
there.
Of leftover yep. food in these things, and they end up staggered around the garage, sometimes wherever the kids end up putting them.
Right.
I don't know what goes
in
on
lunch
in their
bags
minds.
Over the summer.
That one is a killer. You open up the lunch bag in September,
yep.
and you realize, oh, no, there's
what
this
is
stuff
that?
In there. Anyway, I've thrown away a ton of stuff because I assume the stink will never come out.
Right.
Baking soda will get the stink out.
Yeah.
Just rinse them out, which is quite an experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to just gut through that one.
Right.
But sprinkle them and fill them with baking soda. Let them sit. That will remove the smell.
Yeah, you can also use baking soda in water bottles and thermoses, much the same thing, because they do sometimes get a funky
kids do
smell
the same
and a little
thing.
Bit of an aftertaste. Yeah. And so just a little bit of baking soda, maybe some dish soap and some water, let it sit, and then good as new.
I am going to do that because in my vehicle right now, there is a coffee thermos.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's been there for a long time.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I am very nervous to take that home, and I don't want to open it up and look at it, so I just figure every night I pull into the driveway and I look at it and we have the stare down.
Oh.
You know, the thermos is saying, please take
wait, if you leave it outside, maybe it'll all freeze and then it'll be just a solid chunk and it'll just slide right out.
I'm going to do that on a cold day and see what happens.
Try it tonight.
But I'm going to clean that with baking soda and hopefully remove whatever odor is in there.
Right.
Because I'm sure there's an odor.
Yes.
And odors in carpets, rugs, upholstery, that can be removed with baking soda. Just sprinkle it on, let it sit for about an hour, and then vacuum it up.
And now, one last thing. You can actually use it for other things other than baking. You can actually use it to help when you eat certain foods, like beans. I know
why?
Some people
what help do I need? Oh, internal
some people
problems.
Have internal distress when they eat beans. And just a tiny little bit of baking soda in the water when you're boiling the beans will actually get rid of that and help so that you don't have that problem.
And it is really true. There was a study dating back 25 years, and the study is called The Effects of Processing on Flatus Producing Legumes. Don't you want to be that scientist?
No.
What are you working on? You know, I can't you just see the dinner parties. You know, all the scientists are gathered. What are you working
here's
on?
Here's the brain
well,
surgeon.
I'm
here's
curing cancer.
Yep.
Oh, we're working on this. What are you working on? Oh, flatus producing legumes. We're trying to minimize what baked beans do to people. But yeah, like Betsy said, that's a way to do it. Just a little bit of baking soda in the beans while you cook them and you're good to go.
Right. Also great in coffee. Just a tiny little pinch. It'll help some people get an upset stomach from coffee because of the acidity. Just a pinch of baking soda. You won't taste it, but it'll take care of that problem.
It's what we said at the very beginning. Baking soda has superpowers.
It does.
It will do that, all of those things that we mentioned, and so much more.
I'd like to make it a cape.
Just start Googling. You'll be amazed at all the different things you could do with a very inexpensive product.
Right.
And that's all the time we've got, Betsy.
Yes.
If you want to hear this episode or any of our past episodes, just head to repcolite.com and check them out.
And make sure you're following us on Facebook. We will be going to some home and garden shows coming up, so you're going to want to be following along so you can see where we are.
Exactly. And whatever you do today, it's cold outside, but paint is going to warm the heart as well as the soul. Just head to any Repcolite or Port City Paint store. We'll serve you some coffee. Bring your own baking soda if you need some.
Right.
We're open till 3 o'clock. We'd love to see you. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we can help you make sure you get the best painting contractor possible. And if you have them over for dinner and serve baked beans, we can make sure the whole experience is pleasant for everybody. Right?
Thank goodness.
Thanks for listening.